Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Got you on my
mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. 17 for the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. 20 years ago, this month, we met a guy named Charles Whelan. He was at the University of Chicago in those days. Then he hit the road and traveled around the world and wound up at Dartmouth. But we're glad he's continued to come back to see us. I think we helped him launch his book, Naked Economics, back in the day. He's our good friend, Charles Whelan. Happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you. I wasn't thinking of it that way, but I guess it is.
20, how about that? So is Naked Economics, we helped you launch that book back then, I think.
Yeah, now it's in its third edition.
How about that? Yeah, like I said, folks, I'm not surprised, by the way, Charles. Folks, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show, only the best for my audience. Congratulations on that, and thanks for 20 great years, Charles. We've helped you raise your children. So, Charles, let's talk about the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on the American fiscal and monetary policy. The fiscal money, the money from the government to be flooded into the economy has wrecked our budget and our national debt. But that's not even counting the monetary infusion from the Fed. Two different sources, right?
Correct. And I would say that our monetary situation our fiscal situation was in pretty lousy shape to begin with.
Right.
We were already, you know, if you think about Naked Economics, which you referred to, I think there were some concerns about the debt 20 years ago because a number of things. One is we started running deficits routinely, including in good times. So macroeconomists don't have a problem running deficits
right
during a war, during an economic downturn, during a pandemic. But we started running deficits during good times, too.
Right.
Which then meant that, like, eating when the harvest, you really shouldn't be doing it, or running
right
a credit card bill when you're at your peak income.
Then,
of course, we run into the pandemic, and we're spending like crazy. And I think a lot of that actually makes sense to keep the economy afloat.
Well, when you wrote the Naked Economics 20 years ago, our debt to GDP was probably less than half debt to GDP. Now it's on par. It's 1-to-1 or more.
Correct. And the somewhat arbitrary point that people make is that it should never get much higher than 60% of GDP, and that's mostly drawn from historical examples because those are the countries that have gotten deep trouble, and we just blew past that.
Well,
of course,
we were at about 50% at the end of the Bush administration, which he was a big spender too, but then the Obama administration pushed us over the edge for 8 years, and now it's just gone off the road. What is all this gonna do for us? What is the money the Fed has put in the economy is monopoly money. They printed that money. The government borrowed it. What do you think?
I think it's like every other termites in the basement kind of problem, which is you wake up any given day and the foundation of your house doesn't collapse and you go off to work happily and say, well, this must not be a problem. But of course, at some point, it's like any other financial crisis. It becomes a problem when it becomes a problem. If you think back to, say, Greek debt, before that debt crisis, nobody was saying, wow, the Greeks are running, their books are in order, this is a great investment. They were saying, well, everyone else seems to be buying the debt, it must be okay. And then someday comes along, as it did with the real estate crisis. If you remember 2005, 2006, many people thought real estate prices were frothy, but they just thought it would continue because that's what they knew. At some point, the music stops with any financial crisis. And I have to point out to listeners that both Social Security and Medicare and other related federal health spending are on unsustainable paths, and that doesn't show
they're
up.
They're not actually, they're the opposite of actuarially sound.
Oh, it's not even close. I mean, I wouldn't even give it the benefit of being the opposite. It's
being,
not even
being
in
used
the same
that
ledger.
Word. I agree. Yeah. So I
think at some point there's got to be a plan to rein it in.
Right. Well, and you've got these folks. These are in business. We call these contingent liabilities. When you're doing an audited financial statement, when you're about to sell your business, any auditor is going to come in and identify the contingent liabilities. These are the things that the company owes but isn't currently servicing the debt on. One day that bill will come due, and if you don't set aside money to pay for it, then the company has less value. What do you think about that analysis?
I think it's exactly right. And, of course, as you know, private companies have legal obligations to fund their pension funds.
Right.
But you can't promise your workforce a pension and then not save against it. And we've had many chapters where authorities have cracked down on that for obvious reasons, because you don't want the pensioners with nothing if the company goes bankrupt or what have you. The federal government does not have that legal obligation. Now, I think many people would point out that there's no debt problem now because the world is still snapping up our debt. There are few other alternatives. Interest rates are extremely low, as you pointed out.
Let me give you a scenario when that reckoning could happen. It could happen. We could be in trouble when we have inflation. We could get in trouble when the interest rate goes up. We could also be in trouble when cryptocurrency becomes proliferated outside of the U.S. dollar, somehow a parallel cryptocurrency universe that minimizes the value, the power of the U.S. dollar. When that happens, all bets are off. What do you think about that? Last thoughts.
I think those are all possibilities. I would throw in China as the wild card. Clearly, China does not particularly care to have the U.S. dollar be the reserve currency
right.
of the world.
That's right.
I don't think China has the capacity now to offer a substitute because it's not
but it could promote cryptocurrency. The danger to the world is the U.S. dollar not being the reserve currency of the world, isn't it? You agree with that?
I agree with that, and I think that's quite a danger to the American economy.
Yeah, to everything. That's exactly right. Because remember, folks, warts and all, whatever is good or bad for America is the same for the world. Quick break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.